Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
The Lord is God and has given us light. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord.
God of things present and of things to come, you have made us to be witnesses of your resurrected love in our lives. Through the gift of your Spirit, you dwell among us. Yet with your glory and goodness all around us, we, like the disciples, look toward the sky, hoping to know your presence, and we fail to notice you among us. Let us confess the ways we have given our attention to those things that separate us from one another and God. Together, let us make known to our merciful God our need for forgiveness, saying, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to Thee, confessing our faults, confiding in Thy grace, and finding in Thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved of God, the clouds of sin cannot keep us from God's endless love. By the richness of God's grace, we are forgiven, raised up to take our place with Christ. We are witnesses of God's goodness, forgiven, redeemed, and restored. Alleluia. Let us rejoice and sing together the hymn, God Has Gone Up on High, hymn number 181, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
God is gone up on high with a triumphant noise. The clarions of the sky proclaim the angelic joys. Rejoice and sing, rejoice and sing, ascribing glory to a king. God in the flesh below, for us he reigns above. Let all the nations know a Jesus' conquering love. Rejoice and sing, rejoice and sing, ascribing glory to a king. Till all the earth renewed in righteousness divine, with all the hosts of God in one great chorus join. Rejoice and sing, rejoice and sing, ascribing glory to a king.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. I'm Stephanie Paul Sell, the interim minister, and it is my great joy to welcome you this morning. Whether you are joining us for the first time, the 100th time, or anything in between, we're so glad you're here. A special welcome to the students who finished their exams on Friday and have come to the end of an academic year like no other. We're looking forward to celebrating with the seniors during graduation week and to reconnecting with those who will return in the fall. It's a very special morning for us in the Memorial Church community because the newly appointed Plummer Professor of Christian Morals and Pusey minister in the Memorial Church, Matthew Ichihashi Potts, is our preacher. Professor Potts gave us a wonderful hour in the Faith and Life Forum this morning, and we look forward very much to hearing what he will share from our virtual pulpit. We have a second special guest with us, Larry Bacow, the president of Harvard University, who will introduce Professor Potts in a moment. I'm glad to have this opportunity to thank President Bacow for his leadership in these days and for the care and attention he brought to this appointment. In his letter to the university about Professor Potts, he noted that caring for the spiritual life of the community helps everyone at Harvard thrive. We're fortunate to have a president who cherishes the religious diversity of this university and who is committed to supporting the spiritual lives of everyone in our community. President Bacow, welcome.
Thank you, Stephanie, for that kind introduction and for the opportunity to say a few words. One of the greatest benefits of my position is that I often have the opportunity to speak with extraordinary people. People who demonstrate for all of us what we can accomplish as individuals, and people with achievements that are as varied as the interests that are represented among members of our community. Matt Potts is one of those people, an extraordinary person. In speaking with him for the first time, I got the sense that his wisdom dispensed thoughtfully, even in the lightest of conversation, had been hard-earned, gained at least as much through, in some cases, disappointment and dark alleys as through joy and satisfaction. Imagine Matt as an undergraduate at Notre Dame, rounding out his ROTC training and setting his sights on service in the Pacific. And then imagine that same young man realizing, ruminating, and ultimately objecting to the ends to which he had set for himself. Imagine him coming home to uncertainty, compounded by financial hardship. After all, he had to repay the federal government for his ROTC education, and returning to his alma mater to begin again, this time as an admissions officer, a way to earn a living while he figured out what he wanted to do with the rest of his life. And from there, like many of us, a path not perfectly planned, but ultimately discovered. Arriving at Harvard Divinity School, first for a master's degree, and then on to a PhD in the study of religion from the Graduate School of Arts and Sciences, and then on to the Harvard faculty, and a brilliant academic career complemented by deeply engaged ministry and teaching. These moments, these steps, both forward and backwards, have culminated in a person of remarkable talent, but you might not know it because Matt is also a person of remarkable humility. In fact, and he may not even know this, he asked that his appointment include the ability to eat meals in the dining halls with his family so that he could come to know our students and understand their lives by meeting them where they live. Candidly, it was the first time I had ever heard of such a request, and I think a revelation of his character. Harvard is truly its people. It changes a little with each new appointment, but I believe it will change a lot because of this appointment, because of the ways in which I believe Matt's sense of justice and fairness, of responsibility and forgiveness will guide our entire community to a greater and richer understanding of what Harvard owes to the wider world. All of you have a role to play in that work. There's a passage from my own tradition, from the Talmud, that I think is a powerful reminder of the reciprocal nature of membership in a community devoted to learning. The passage begins, "Make for thyself a teacher." What does this mean? I think it means that we all need to share generously in our own lives, in our own disappointments and despairs, our own joys and satisfaction. I hope you will embrace Matt and Colette and their children. Bring energy and life to Memorial Church by making for yourselves a minister and strengthening this congregation in the process. Matt, my wish for you is that the years to come bring with them meaningful change and deep fulfillment. May your wisdom continue to grow, and may we all find inspiration and community within the walls of Memorial Church.
Thank you so much, President Backow, for those nourishing words and for your warm introduction of our new minister. It's a joy to have you with us this morning. You are all warmly invited to hear President Backow's address to the class of 2021 on Tuesday, May 25th at 2 p.m. here on WHRB during the Harvard College Baccalaureate service. Students and chaplains will offer readings and blessings from their religious traditions, and we'll hear anthems by alumni composers, including our own Carson Kuman, class of 2004, our composer in residence. You are all invited to tune in on May 25th to celebrate the class of 2021. I'm grateful to all who made this hour of worship possible, to Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow, for leading us in worship, and to our musicians, Edward Jones, David Von Baron, and the members of the Harvard University Choir, whose offerings are always a blessing. We remain grateful to First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, where David Von Baron records the prelude and postlude each week. Thanks also to our readers, both of whom are cherished members of our Student Advisory Board and serve as student deacons, Alden Fawcett, class of 2021, and Elizabeth Probst, class of 2022. And of course, this service would not be possible without the hard work of Jesus Romoyamas and Jeffrey Blackwell, who weave it together each week, and to our friends at WHRB who broadcast it. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. There's more information in the bulletin about our programs and about the music you'll hear this morning. Friends, through the vulnerability of our bodies and the interconnectedness of our lives, God has placed us in each other's care. May we take a moment to hold one another in our hearts and to recommit ourselves to offering the peace that God is offering in every moment of every day to all those we encounter this week. May God's peace be with us all. The book of Leviticus proclaims that every offering is holy to God. We are invited to offer what we have to give: time, attention, talent, treasure. The offering of the Memorial Church supports our Grants Committee, which provides material assistance through local organizations who serve the most vulnerable among us. And it supports our life together as a church, making it possible to weave a fabric of care through music, study, prayer, service, and fellowship. We invite you to support the work of the Memorial Church through this morning's offering. There is a donate button on our homepage where you may leave your gift, or you can mail your gift to the Memorial Church. Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 17, beginning at the 6th verse. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know, in truth, that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. Risen Christ, today our gaze turns towards the misty heavens. You were just with us, and now you are gone. We are left with our fear, grief, confusion, hope. What has this all been about? What does it all mean? What is this all for? What is next? It is so easy for us to be consumed with uncertainty and plagued by doubt. Forgive the smallness of our vision, the narrowness of our outlook, the weakness of our love, the nervousness of our witness, our failure to recognize the fullness of your revelation. Instill in us today a deeper sense of wonder a stronger faith, and a greater understanding of all that you have done and are doing. Holy One, we watch the skies for just a glimpse of your dazzling grace, and you send us angels to bring our hearts and minds and souls back into our lives, our bodies, this very present moment. God, as you know all too well, our beloved world is fragile and broken, and your children cry out for help. We ask that you make your comforting mercy, saving love, and abiding peace made visible and known, especially where your presence is most difficult to see. Be with our Palestinian and Israeli siblings as rubber bullets and rockets fly across the sky. Be in all the places, known and unknown to us, where life is precarious but still precious. God, we are your people, and as much as we love sky gazing, we know that you call us to give witness in the middle of terror, anxiety, illness, death, and apathy. Protect not only those that we love, but protect the whole wide world which you love so dearly. In places of war, bring peace. In places beset by natural disaster, bring calm and restoration. Where there is unrest and injustice, make justice our aim. And when hope has grown tired and thin, lift our sights so that we may see hope beyond hope and life beyond death. Ever-present God, you meet us in the borderlands, in the places neither here nor there, in the betwixt and between. We find ourselves suspended in such a time and place today. As the United States begins to reopen, the pandemic still rages on in India. Our students will soon be leaving and setting out on their next adventure. Our community prepares to say goodbye to two of our beloved pastors and also embraces the news of a new PUC minister. We ask your blessing upon us all as you beckon us to new futures. Remind us that even if we don't know where we are going, you are there. When we feel most lost, you are there. Wherever we cannot be, you are there. In the forgotten corners of creation, you are there. Christ, you may be lifted to the heavens, yet your spirit also dwells among us. We come to you so that we may articulate and share one another's fears and burdens, as we know you share ours always. Hold in your healing embrace all who need you this day. Breathe new life and purpose into all who are suffering, who are in pain, who are wandering in the wilderness, unable to turn to you. There are so many in need of your tender, loving care in this broken and hurting world. Source of truth and light, we pray for all students as this semester ends, especially the students of this university. Let the knowledge they receive be put to the betterment of humanity, creating a world that is a little more just, a little more loving, a little more beautiful. Walk with those students for whom the end of term means uncertainty and loss. May they know the closeness of your presence. Look upon all who lead our institutions of learning, that they would ensure the pursuit of knowledge and truth be unhindered by power and politics. O compassionate one, wherever faith is new and fragile and love needs patient nurturing. Pull us deeper and deeper into knowing your love, grace, and peace. Coax us out of our fear so that we may know your radical, amazing grace in all the big and seemingly small moments of each day we live for you and in you. So we also uplift our joys to you as well. We give thanks for love and light and sun and spring, for all those who helped us find our way in recent storms. We say thank you and amen to all those people and encounters that bring smiles to our faces so that our hearts burst. Help us to remember that sensation, which is your love, O God. Holy God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring healing to all wounds. Make whole all that is broken. Speak truth to all illusion. And shed light in every darkness, that all creation may see your glory and know our Christ. Amen. And let us join together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and the seventh Sunday of Easter is sort of an anomalous day in the calendar of the church year. Last Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension. According to the book of Acts, 40 days after Easter, that would be last Thursday, Jesus is lifted up into the heavens. The disciples go to a mountain, and Jesus is there on the mountain, and then he is taken up into heaven. The truth is, there's not a lot of consistency across the Gospels about this event. The person who authored Acts, for example, writes in his companion volume of the Gospel of Luke that the ascension happens instead on Easter Day itself. Mark and John don't say much at all about the ascension. And in Matthew, there's a mountain and a farewell, but not every disciple even sees Jesus at all, let alone sees him floating up into the sky. But in the account we traditionally commemorate on Ascension Day, the account from Acts, that's what happens. Jesus says goodbye, and then he floats up into the sky, and he's gone. So much for what happened on Thursday. Next Sunday, meanwhile, is the Feast of Pentecost, and Pentecost is the day we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit. Again, according to the book of Acts, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, this companion Jesus has asked God to give to us, finally does arrive and joins us in our lives and our work. There's not a lot of consistency across the Gospels about this event either, but in any case, in the account we will recall next week, we who were left behind by Jesus on Thursday will be joined next Sunday by a gracious comforter and a new companion, the Holy Spirit. So, on Thursday, Jesus departed. Next Sunday, the Spirit will arrive. Which means today, alone out of every other Sunday of the church year, we are on our own. And we're not sure quite what to do with ourselves, all alone, as we are. In one of the traditional prayers for this day from my own denomination, we pray to God, "You have taken up your Son. Please don't leave us comfortless." We don't like being on our own. You can also hear some of this discomfort in the gospel lesson assigned for this morning. Today's lesson actually comes from all the way back before Easter, from the Last Supper, and Jesus is telling his disciples, "Look, I'm going away, but when I'm gone, don't panic. You'll be on your own, but here's what I need you to do while I'm gone, until the Holy Spirit eventually arrives to aid you." So this Sunday, this time, is a between time, a complicated and confusing time of transition, a time between the comfort of old habits and the consolation of new horizons. As such, this singular seventh Sunday of Easter is also maybe an apt one for the complications and confusions of our own present time and our own world. My family, for example, is packing up the life we've shared with friends and family here on Cape Cod for the past 12 years as we plan for a new life in Cambridge and my new role as a minister in this, your church. And this church is in a similar position as it gives thanks for Stephanie's leadership these last two challenging years, while also anticipating my new ministry with you in the years to come. It's similar for our graduating students at Harvard this spring, who are turning in their final assignments today, while also turning their minds towards opportunities tomorrow. And perhaps most of all, it is true in many ways of our world. We have been forced by a pandemic, one that beggars our lives and livelihoods still, to abandon all sorts of old hopes and old habits. But we are nonetheless poised this spring to break free of so much of our isolation and contagion, and to secure a cautious sort of normalcy for ourselves once again. In every case, at every level, we feel ourselves caught between a past we must let go and a future still beyond our grasp. In every case, we've been left with neither the comforts of the familiar nor the confidence of the foreseeable. In every case, all we really know about the future is that it's coming. So how should we approach this? In fact, I think our gospel offers some useful answers. The 17th chapter of John, which constitutes Jesus' farewell prayer for his disciples at the Last Supper, is a difficult passage, to say the least. The full chapter contains 26 verses, only 14 of which are assigned to us by the church for this Sunday. The verses we have are circular and repetitive and self-referential. The word "world" is used 13 times in 14 verses. The verb "given" is used nearly as much. But the verses at the beginning and ending of this prayer, the ones the lectionary leaves out, in fact, I think, are critical to understanding what's going on. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus prays to God. "You have sent me," Jesus says, "now I send them." And then our passage this morning continues as Jesus elaborates, "You have glorified me, God, now I glorify them. You have given all things to me," Jesus says, "now I give all things to them." And then in the final verses, which conclude this prayer and this chapter, Jesus closes by saying, "God, you have loved me. Now I love them. So send them out to love others. And the love by which you love me, and the love by which I love them, and the love by which they love each other, let that love bind us all together as one." Traditional interpretations of these verses tend to focus on Jesus' and his disciples' relationship to the world, because the world is a word that is repeated so often and so crucially in this passage. And to be fair, a lot of that repetition is negative or critical. "I am not in the world," Jesus says. "I don't belong to the world," Jesus says. "And these disciples of mine, they don't belong to the world either," Jesus says. One of the classic aphorisms of Christian culture is that we are in the world, but not of the world, and it derives basically from this prayer, from these lines. It's undeniable that Jesus is articulating some ambivalence in these lines, but the Greek here is hard to follow and hard to translate too. The danger is that we might read all these negations as a condemnation of the world, as a rejection or a posture of separateness. And indeed, this is often how these words have been read by Christians across the ages, as a rejection and as a posture of separateness. But to read these lines that way would undermine perhaps the most famous line in the whole Gospel of John, the one we see cited on billboards and printed on signs at the Super Bowl, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son. God doesn't reject the world. God loves it. Loves it so much, God sends his Son into it. That all is true. But we learn this morning that it's also only half the story. Because what Jesus tells us today is the other half. That this Son the Father has sent also so loves the world, loves it so much that the Son has given us to the world. Loves the world so much that the Son has sent us into the world. As you have glorified me, Jesus prays, now I glorify them. As you have sanctified me, Jesus prays, now I sanctify them. As you have given to me, Jesus prays, now I give to them. As you have loved me, Jesus prays, now I love them. And as you have sent me into this world you love, Jesus prays, now I send them. Into the waiting world. Into the world God loves, and into the world Jesus loves, and into the world we are called upon, even in all our confusion and discomfort, to love with all our lives and with our lives to come. I said earlier that we don't know anything about the world to come, except for the fact that it is coming. But we know one other thing about that world. We know that God loves it. The world that awaits us is a world utterly, endlessly loved by God. And Christ now sends us into that waiting world as bearers and messengers of a love that can abide the tumult and trouble of any transition. A changed world awaits us. We stand here on the precipice of Pentecost, still longing for the fulfillment of God's promise, already charged with the adventure of God's love. May we, like our brother Jesus before us, enter boldly into the mystery of God's future.
Let us sing now our closing hymn, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise, hymn number 184, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
Hail the day that sees him rise, glorious to his native skies, Christ a while to mortals given, enters now the highest heaven. There the glorious triumph waits, lift your heads, eternal gates, wide unfold the radiant scene, take the King of glory in. See, he lifts his hands above, see, he shows the Prince of love, hark, his gracious lips bestow.
May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do God's will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in God's sight. And may the blessing of God Almighty, who loves you as a parent, and as a child, and as a companion, be with you now and remain with you always.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.